It's Marketplace Tech. I'm Ben Johnson. If you're an independent video game company, even one that is already kind of a big deal, you've got your work cut out for you in 2017. Because in a world with a ton of devices, a ton of marketplaces for gaming software, and tons of games themselves, it's really hard to just get your game in front of users' eyeballs. Earlier this year, a big digital distribution company for video games called Valve announced it would be retiring a service that helped indie game makers get voted by gamers from the minor leagues to the big leagues. It's connected to larger issues of access and discovery, and our friend and Georgia Tech Interactive Gaming professor Ian Bogost is here to talk about it. Ian, thanks for chatting with me.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
How do people generally find independent games these days?
There's a couple of ways they find them. One is if you use a console, you can go on to one of the downloadable services, you know, PSN, and Xbox also has one, and you can download games directly from your console. You can do that on the Wii as well.
Uh-huh.
But on the PC, what most people do is they use a service called Steam that's run by Valve, the game company.
Valve is the kind of parent company, and Steam is the distribution network, so like almost like the record label or something?
Yeah, I mean, you could also think of Steam as like the app store for independent games on the PC.
Got it. So this new development on Valve and its distribution network, Steam, impacts independent gamers?
So Valve tried to make these tiers of entry. They could get a game onto Steam proper, which meant better placement and marketing. And then they had a secondary service that they called Greenlight.
Okay.
And this was a way for creators to kind of get voted into the main Steam distribution network.
Is the digital distribution model that we all now sort of work with as gamers better for independent game developers or worse?
It's better because getting your game into retail is very costly. It's not just expensive because you have to press discs and all of that, but you have to negotiate terms with the retailers. And, you know, getting a product into a Walmart or a GameStop is just almost impossible to do for an independent game unless it's already proven successful elsewhere. So the benefit of an online distribution model is that all of those costs are reduced or eliminated. Of course, then you need the audience that's going to buy the game. And with everybody basically buying their independent games from Steam, you're kind of guaranteed if you're making an indie game that your audience is there if you can reach them.
Is this part of a larger kind of cyclical pattern of how all of this stuff works? It's like traditional distribution models and sort of restricted access gives way through technological innovation to democratization, which gives way to way too many options on the marketplace, which then eventually gives way to a newly restricted marketplace.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely right. The options that are available to independent game creators are much better than they ever were, you know, 15, 20 years ago. There was just no way to be a commercially successful independent game creator in the early days of the arcade or in the console era of the 90s and 2000s. So even with this constriction, I think it'll still be net benefit for independent creators.
All right, optimism from Ian Bogost. He is a professor at Georgia Tech who writes about gaming. Ian, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Megatech is not, as I first wondered, a techno cover album of songs by the metal band Megadeth. It is the title of a new collection of work, including everyone from famous philanthropist Melinda Gates to science fiction writer Alistair Reynolds. Topic, it's in the title, Megatech, Technology in 2050. And this collection of long view essays on the world and the future of technology was put together by Daniel Franklin, editor of The Economist. Daniel, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
In putting Megatech together, did you learn any extremely surprising perspective that you hadn't really thought of before starting to put the book together?
I think there are lots of small surprises in what people imagine, but also perhaps big ones in overall the pace of things. Biotechnology, I think I was surprised at the very many different avenues that could reach into and impact not just healthcare, but also manufacturing and weird and wonderful ways of producing chemicals and fuels. Because of the stage that we've got to in fundamental physics, there's a brilliant chapter by Frank Vilcek, Nobel Prize winning physicist from MIT, about how we're going to be able to do a lot more by calculation rather than experimentation in advanced technology. And that's, I think, a really important insight.
How come?
the stage that we've reached in terms of explaining the physical universe around us is such that the equations are there to do a lot more by calculation rather than by trial and error.
We can plug it in and hit run program instead of blowing up the lab or something.
Well, it's not quite as simple as that, but basically, yes. You know, Thomas Edison, when he invented the light bulb, I think he used 1,600 different materials, including coconut fiber and the hair of a colleague's beard before he hit on one that was actually the right sort of material. And now that sort of thing might happen a lot faster.
Well, that's good for the beards, I suppose. What can we do as regular users to contribute to a positive tech future?
The first thing is, I think, a consciousness of the choices that sometimes you have. You can make various choices on privacy, for example. You can make decisions about what you consume. Not everybody gets to decide, but we all have a part in these decisions.
Daniel Franklin, he is author of Megatech, Technology in 2050. Daniel, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And hey, by the way, you are not going to hear my dulcet tones for a little while. Have no fear. I have not been sucked into the Matrix or turned into a robot. I am not preparing for a one-way ticket to Mars. I'll just be away from the show for a few weeks, and you will be in the capable hands of my marketplace coworkers. If you want to follow my adventures in the meantime, I'm at The Brock Johnson on Twitter. Holler at your boy, man. That's our show today. This is APM.